Captain here. What is it?
Raiders, sir.
Lund sat up, ducking automatically from the overhanging cabinets.
I'm on my way.
From the bridge, the situation was clear. Two of them, their weapon systems lighting up the scan board with red threats. On the comm screen was a hard-faced man in a uniform he didn't recognize.
You surrender your ship and we'll let the crew off in your lifeboats.
Captain Lund almost choked. Lifeboats would be practically useless in a lifeless system that no one visited because of the paired jump points.
Where's your captain? I want to talk to him.
Lund stepped up to the comm unit and nodded to his exec, who stepped back.
This is Captain Lund. Who are you and what the hell do you think you're doing?
The man favored him with a tight grin that did not look at all friendly.
Taking your ship, sir, in the name of Sacred Liberty and the New Tex Militia. We apologize for any inconvenience.
You're pirates. You have no right.
Them's harsh words, sir. We don't like disrespect for our beliefs. Let me put it this way. We have the weapons to blow your ship away, and we're offering you a chance to save your crew's lives. Some of them, anyway. If you surrender your ship and allow us to board without resistance, we will swear not to kill any of your legal crew.
Legal crew?
Well, yes. We're aware, you see, that you work for a corporation with obscene and unnatural views about moral issues. In our books, there's things that just ain't natural and normal, let alone right. And if you have people like that on board, then they'll have to face justice.
Lund glanced around. The faces on the bridge were tense and pale. He thumbed the comm control to prevent his words going out in transmission.
Do any of you have the slightest idea who these crazies are? Or what they mean about natural and unnatural?
The junior scan tech, Innis Sequelin, nodded.
I've heard a little about the New Tex Militia. For one thing, they think it's wrong for women to be spacers. And for another, they don't tolerate anything but what they call normal sex.
Lund felt his stomach churn. If they didn't allow women in space, what kind of sex did they think was normal? And why not allow women in space?
Is it something religious?
Yes, sir. At least they say it is.
Lund felt even sicker. Religious nuts. He had gone to space to get away from them, back on his home world. If these were the same sort, he had too many crew at risk.
I'm warning you. Answer, or we'll blow your holds.
All right, I'll send my people to the lifeboats.
Oh, we want to see a crew list right now, before you can doctor it up. If a lifeboat separates before we've approved the list, we'll blow it.
Lund's mind raced into high gear. The crew list did not mention gender, and certainly not sexual preferences, so if he could just keep the medical records out of their hands...
And the medical records, in case you got some of them so-called modern women that don't have good women's names?
He could refuse, but then what? According to scan, he was facing weapons easily capable of blowing his ship. But they wouldn't want to blow his ship. They would want the cargo, and perhaps the ship itself, intact.
Personnel and medical records aren't networked.
Lund thanked whatever gods were around, including those he didn't believe in, for the fact that this was standard and known to be standard.
10 minutes.
What doctoring could he do in 10 minutes? And why hadn't he denied the presence of women right away, so that he might have had a chance to pass them off as men? But the ship's tiny medical staff had been listening, and Hansen buzzed up.
I'm changing the genders and stripping out all reference to gender-specific medications. 6 minutes for that. What else do you think?
Sequelin says they have some weird beliefs about sexual practice, but I don't know which.
If they go to space in single-gender ships, maybe they have obligatory homosexuality in space? I could code everyone as male-male preference.
Yeah, but if we're wrong, I don't know.
And what about the children?
Elias Madero, like most commercial ships, carried some of its crew's children aboard. Children had been found well worth the extra work and worry in terms of keeping a crew entertained and cooperative. Right now, there were 6, 4 under school age, and 2 taking a work-study tour as junior apprentices.
We put the kids in the core, where the scans are least likely to find them. Sedate the littles. If they just rob the ship and go on, the older ones can come back out and then send a message. Gotta clear out the nursery, though.
Do it. But don't code gender preference. Just leave it.
How was he going to hide the women? And what would happen to them if they were found? Hazel Takaris, age 16, had found her first working trip to be as dull as her father had warned. But she wouldn't have missed it for anything. Certainly not another 5 terms at the Space Dependence Middle School on Odlink Main Station. So she had willingly performed the routine chores allotted to the apprentices, reminding herself, when enthusiasm for washing dishes or scrubbing the deck flagged, that she could have been listening to Professor Hallis discourse on the history of a planet that lay, to Hazel's mind, in the dim past of human history. A long way away and very far back, and who really cared which millennium had produced which oddly named king or scientist. She was doing inventory of the galley stores as ordered by the cook. She heard nothing of the ensuing discussion because Cookie had told her to get back to work and be sure her count was right.
38 3-kilo sacks of wheat flour, 6 half-kilo boxes of sodium chloride salt, and 4 of a 50-50 mix of potassium and sodium chlorides. 8...
Hey, drop that and listen up. Get 4 emergency ration kits and go to Core 32. Hop it!
Cookie's face was an odd shade, the rich tan paled and splotchy.
What?
But apprentices didn't ask questions, not when a crew member looked like that. Hazel grabbed 4 emergency kits, and as she went past, Cookie dumped 2 more on top of them. She scurried as fast as she could through the corridors, turned into the drop to the core, and met her dad, who was even paler than Cookie.
Hayes, give me 2 of those. Now go to 32. We're gonna lock you in. I put your suit in there already. Put it on and wait. Be sure you wait long enough.
Hazel had grown up a spacer's child. She could figure it out.
Raiders...
Yeah. Now listen, you and Stinky will be awake. We've sedated the littles, and they'll be in Core 57 and 62. Oh, and remember, it's the New Tech's militia. Go on now!
Hazel fell down the drop, landing easily, feet first, on the pad. 32 was clockwise 4. She had known the geography of this ship from early childhood. 32's hatch was open. She slid in, dumped her rations, pulled the hatch shut, and locked it from inside. Her suit stood slumped in one corner, along with a stack of extra oxygen tanks. She got herself into it, her fingers shaking, fumbling at the catches and seals. Hazel started to report herself secure on suitcom and then didn't. The Raiders could already be aboard. No one had told her when to expect boarding. No one had told her when to come out.
Wait long enough. How long's that? How am I supposed to know?
In her suit, she could not quite lie down in the compartment, but she propped herself corner to corner so that if she fell asleep, she would not fall and make a noise. She had the helmet open to ambient air. No sense in wasting suit air yet, and the helmet would snap shut automatically at any drop in pressure. She looked at her suit chrono and marked the time. Wait long enough. She wished she knew how long. She wished she and Stinky had been in the same compartment so they could talk. As the two apprentices, they had formed a natural alliance. Besides that, they liked each other's parents and had spent the voyage trying to maneuver her father and his mother into some kind of arrangement. So far, the adults had been resistant, but she and Stinky hadn't given up hope. Surely everyone felt the same urge to partner that she and Stinky felt. That's how adults came together to have children, after all. Locked in the empty compartment, it finally occurred to Hazel that the straightforward solution wouldn't have been for her and Stinky to partner and leave the parents alone. But she wasn't ready to partner anyone, not yet. Later, she allowed herself a few delicious minutes of imagining what it would be like if Stinky were in the same compartment without the pressure suits or the adult supervision. She had thought like that, even though she had chosen to take the treatment to delay puberty. She might look only 10 or 11, but she was 16 for true. She pulled her mind away from that to the littles, locked away in other compartments. Sedated, her dad said.
How long will sedation last? Brandolin's always first up in the morning, bouncing around. Will she come out of sedation first? Did they put her in the same compartment as her sister?
Surely they'd thought of that. Stassi was quieter and very attached to her big sister. The other two littles, Paolo and Driss, were cousins. She looked at the chrono. Only 15 minutes had passed. That couldn't be long enough. The raiders might not have boarded yet. She might have to wait hours. Her suit transmitted nonspecific vibrations that she could not identify, except that they were different from those she knew so well after all these months aboard. 1 hour, two, three.
How long do raiders stay aboard a ship to plunder it?
Docked at a regular cargo station, the automated handlers could unload a hold in 7 hours and 12 minutes, if nothing went wrong.
Will the raiders try to unload an entire hold? All the holds? Do they have the right equipment? How long will it take them?
It would be easier to steal the whole ship. She felt cold as she thought of it.
If they take the entire ship, then what'll happen to me? To Stinky? To the Littles?
The raiders had to be close, because no one had unlocked her compartment yet. The shriek stiffened her. Brandy, that would be. They had all joked that she had a scream that would slice steel plates. Hazel clambered up, clumsy in the suit, and tried to unlock the hatch. She had to stop them. She had to protect the child. She had the lock undone when the hatch was yanked out of her grip, and two big men grabbed her, one for each arm, and pulled her out of the compartment. Hazel could see Brandy kicking in the grip of another, who was trying to gag her with a length of cloth. Stassi was crying, more quietly, in the grip of another. The two little boys clung to Stinky, who looked as scared as she felt.
A girl, perverts.
The man holding Brandy had managed to tie the gag. He shoved her into Hazel's arms.
You take her and bring her along.
She held Brandy to her, trying to comfort the child. Stassi clung to one leg and Paolo to the other. Stinky carried Driss. The raiders pushed her along, back up toward the bridge. The first thing Hazel saw coming into the bridge was her dad's body in a pool of blood. She almost dropped Brandy, but the child clung to her, legs and arms fastened tight. There were other bodies, all people she knew. Barris the navigator, and Sig the cargo chief, and Stinky's mother, gagged and bound, but glaring furiously. All the women of the crew, she noted, were lying there in a row, bound and gagged. Captain Lund faced the bridge access, bound to his command seat, and all the armed men wearing the same uniform as the ones who had captured her. The leader turned to Captain Lund.
You lied to us, Captain. That wasn't very smart.
I wanted to save the children.
The leader smiled, a smile that made Hazel feel cold inside.
God saves the children by giving them to those who will bring them up in righteousness.
Captain Lund looked at Hazel, then at Stinky.
I'm sorry.
The leader slammed his weapon into Captain Lund's head.
You don't talk, old man. Nobody talks to our children but our family. And you're going to be really sorry that you lied.
He turned to his men.
Get going now. Let's check these heathen sluts out, see if any of them's worth bothering with.